Hey, all right, awesome. Yes, everything I just said and more. The time is 6.02 p.m. You are listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin. Thank you very much to Charlie for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. Mascot Wedding Show is coming up right after the Dirt Bombs.
Stop that.
I like it. The time is 6.07 p.m. You are adjusting your microphone. You are still listening to KOOP, Hornsby Austin, 91.7.
Are you on the air?
I am not on the air. What's going on?
Microphone 2, right?
Yeah.
Microphone 2. Am I not here? What?
Hit that one.
Try it again.
Check. No.
I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
Mic 3.
Let's try mic 3.
Check.
Get on mic 3.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Was this like something that was posted that we should have known?
Probably not.
Hey, I hear your voice now.
Hang on. Oh, there it is.
There we go.
God, that's what America wants.
Yep.
Let's try it again. The time is 6.08 p.m. You are still listening to KOOP, Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at KOOP.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hatta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, the phone number is 472-5667, 472-KOOP. The opinions said on this show are just the opinions of the person that happened to say them or something. So yeah, enjoy.
Jeez, oh Pete.
We just heard, off from their album Box of Secrets, that was Blood Red Shoes. Their song, I'm not done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Their song, It's Getting Boring by the Sea.
I'm sorry.
Jeez.
And now my headphones are cutting in and out. Rookie ball.
That'll happen. These headphones work, though.
Yeah.
They can stretch. Yeah. That microphone also moves.
I know. I'm getting settled now.
Yeah, you were joking about rookie ball.
I'm a little discombobulated. And starting us off from the amazing album Ultra Glide in Black, that was the only original song on that album, Your Love Belongs Under a Rock by the Dirt Bombs.
Oh, is that like a best of?
It was a album of covers.
Oh.
Album of covers.
That's a curveball right there.
Yeah.
Putting an original track in an album of covers.
Exactly. But you know what? They blew the rest of the tracks out of the water.
Oh, man. What? Sorry. Sorry, people who are listening to the radio and they just peaked because I laughed. I think we got like some sort of bells and whistles to stop that from happening, though. Although, can't start that microphone 2 up. Oh, brother. How are you, Dave? What the? Come on, man.
Oh, now batting.
Got to get right over here.
Mac Blake.
Got to get right. I tie a belt around my arm. Get right. How are you, David?
Radio show side. I'm doing great. Good weekend so far. Everything's starting off. Missing the ice cream festival, though. Kind of bummed about that.
You really want to see Joey Chestnut.
Yeah.
That man with no dignity scarfing down a lot of ice cream, huh?
Yeah, because of all the things to scarf down, ice cream is the last thing you want to scarf down because there is a penalty for eating it too fast. And there's not that with, well, you know, there's the penalty of overeating with like hot dogs and stuff or just other competitive eating. But how far can you get in an ice cream eating contest before you're just like, this is the worst pain I've ever been in?
Oh, because it's so cold?
Exactly, yes.
Well, as weird sociopaths would like to tell you, these people are athletes, David. So they train their bodies.
Yeah.
And so perhaps intense ice cream headaches are one of the things they're trained for.
If they are able to train beyond that, that's pretty awesome. Because if you just eat...
Why is that awesome?
Well, because if you eat a lot, that's just gross. They're monsters at that point. But this is something that affects us all. We're like, we've all eaten ice cream too fast and that's hurt. If there's some guy who is... found a glitch in the matrix and is able to get around that, that's awesome just for that alone.
No, it's not.
It's awesome.
What does that get you?
No headaches.
No, he's still getting a headache. He's just powering through it. But why are you
powering? Well, we don't know that.
Oh, yeah, you do. Why is he powering through it? So he can eat more ice cream? That's like a divorced dad Batman. Who's like, kids
How?
Are away. Yeah, because that episode of Louie, he ate a lot of ice cream.
Oh.
Sorry, fresh my mind. Yeah, because he's not managed to like turn off that part of his brain.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. If he had been able to... Man, I'm still popping. If he had been able to turn that off, that would be awesome. Yeah, if he's still getting a headache, that's awful.
No, I also say that's not awesome. Because I feel like that part of your brain has got to be connected to other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, oh, wow, I no longer feel cold back here, I think is what the glitch is. And the glitch of the Matrix is just like, there's something wrong with you.
Well, no, he's like, you know, hey, I can't feel cold, but the back of my throat tastes metallic. That's a problem.
Look, can we just agree that the Joey Chestnut guy's a monster?
Yes, we can agree to that.
Okay. We have to start off the show agreeing on one thing at least.
Welcome, visiting dignitaries.
So how are you doing, David? Good. I already asked you that, but why don't you answer for reals? What have you been up to?
Just getting some stuff done today. I can tell you a story of what I almost did.
Please do.
There's a segment that this show has that we haven't done in a while. And that is Mascot Wedding Takes a Bullet.
Mascot Wedding Takes a Bullet, when we do things so you don't have to do them.
Exactly.
Like one, go to the ice cream festival.
Two, power through a headache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we do these things, we report back our findings.
Exactly.
That was the missing link there. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. So I was going to do something today, but I knew you were busy, and taking a bullet is hard to do alone. It's better to do with somebody else.
As is taking a bullet in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, imagine someone was like shooting a bullet at a wall and you jumped in front of it. Who'd you take that bullet for if there's no one else there?
Yeah, was there an awesome poster on there?
That's why I need something I like to call a bullet buddy.
Yes, I'm glad you finally mentioned it. The bullet buddy. So. So I was going to do something, but I talked myself out of it. And that was go see a little movie called Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Eat, Pray, Love is about this lady who just isn't happy and she needs to get over it. That's my assessment just by going by the trailer. But then I saw like the showtimes and the listings for this movie and it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. I don't need that much time to figure out that this lady needs to cool it. I know already.
Yeah, and forgive me for just going off the trailer because I'll never see this giant turd.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, man, I'm unhappy with my life. I know, I'll move to Italy or something and eat a lot of good food and get romanced by Javier Bardem and James Franco, as if we all could be that lucky.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I'm not attacking this movie from a standpoint of like, oh, it's a chick flick, gross. No, it just seems like a very ill-conceived idea. It's like, you know, oh, I finally found the secret to happiness. All you need to do is get a book publisher to give you an advance on a book that you haven't written yet and use that money to travel the world. That's really where I found it. And like, that drives me nuts. And, you know, there's no impetus for her being this way. You know, she's an author living in New York and then suddenly she's unhappy and we're supposed to be along for the ride. Meanwhile, like, hey, my rent's 3 weeks late. I don't want to see this former model go, you know, bed handsome gentleman and eat so much pasta that she can't fit into her size 2 pants. Oh no, not the size 2s.
That's what my life needed. James Franco. That's what everyone's life needs.
Yeah, exactly. We cracked that one years ago.
I was trying to talk about why I didn't like this movie last night, mm-hmm. and I went to one of my blogs that I like, iwatchstuff.com,
yes.
And the writer on there referred to it as sad lady porn, and I was like, there it was. That was the term I was looking for.
But
and you might go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
And you might say like, well, you know, what if there was like a male equivalent to this movie? You'd probably like that. I was like, yeah, there has been a male equivalent to this movie. It's like when you have this like depressed, lonely dude and he meets this like crazy pixie chick. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, oh, she's nutty. And then like, oh, she's teaching me about how to live or whatever. There's like a million movies like that.
Yeah. And I always feel gross after 99% of those, too. So it goes both ways.
Yep.
But what did I say? Yeah. Oh, and you were mentioning this last night, too. The problem isn't with the fact that she has to travel the world to find herself, which we all do. We all do. It's that she travels to...
Because we can all afford that.
Yeah, exactly. It's that she travels to the most broadly painted parts of the world. Like, she goes to Italy and you think she's going to discover like these little out-of-the-way things or whatever. But no, the trailer is like, there's this one you know, greasy gentleman who's like, in Italy, you got to talk with your hands. It's like, really? I mean,
thanks, stereotype.
You got to twirl your mustache real good. Like, no. If somebody were showing a movie about Austin, it wouldn't be like, hey, if you want to come to Texas, you got to learn how to ride a horse. No, you don't. I don't want people thinking that about us.
Yeah, it's like she comes down to Austin and there'd be like Matthew McConaughey in like a Western style shirt with cowboy boots, like, you know, playing in a band that no one wants to see, but in this movie they do. And he'd be like, in Austin, you got to relax. Like, if there was that kind of like broad painted character on the screen and, you know, you were in this town watching it, he'd be like, oh, what? That's what people think of us?
Yeah. Oh, but
that's terrible.
And by the way, you're emotionally unstable and noncommittal. I still want to sleep with you. Like,
yeah, like imagine, let's say you're from New Jersey, and someone's like, I got to get out of this rut I'm in. I'll go to New Jersey. And some guy's like, hey, welcome to New Jersey. And then, like, you know, he's like, here, drink a Diet Sprite with me or something like that.
Meet my pal, Joey Coffee Cakes.
Joey that's the Bronx Tale, David.
Oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, it's like if you went to go see a Bronx Tale is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. The movie looks bad. So what swayed you from seeing it?
What swayed me from it? The running time. Like, I'll...
Oh, okay.
It really was... Because I had nothing to do today. I was just sitting around. And so I wouldn't mind suffering for a little while. But suffering that much, it was over my threshold. If it was an hour 40, hour 50, maybe, I would have powered through. But 220, I don't need it. I'm sorry.
You know, we do like seeing movies when they come out. So we can talk about them on the show because... The fast-paced world of two dudes yakking. I mean, you got to stay up on this stuff.
Yes. There's a very small market.
It's all part of being a talk radio DJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't want to see these movies when they first come out, but I have to.
Exactly.
Because people expect us to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so last night, or this weekend, we had a choice, David.
Yes.
We really weren't going to go see Eat, Pray, Love. That was off the table. But we could have seen The Expendables.
Yes.
Or we could have seen Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
And I'm a huge fan of the Scott Pilgrim comics.
You are?
And I love director Edgar Wright's previous two movies,
mm-hmm.
Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, as do you.
I love them. Yes, yeah. Brilliant.
So this really wasn't a choice, even though I still want to see The Expendables.
I saw the trailer for that. More like The Expandables, because they got fit. Please, no bass line, not even a bass line. Yeah.
Yes, we saw Scott Pilgrim last night. What'd you think of it?
I loved it.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah, of course. Which, here's the thing, though. It didn't really fight everybody. Just kind of fought like seven dudes. You're going to fight the world. You've got to fight like a few billion.
But there's the... it wasn't fighting the world's people. It was fighting the world's responsibilities, too.
Mm.
Actually, he didn't really get a job. Never really moved out of that dude's apartment.
Well, now I don't like it. no, actually, I loved it. I enjoyed it a lot. I read... It's a six-book series? Five-book?
Six-book.
Okay.
Six-book came out last month.
Yeah. I read book one.
Yeah.
And I didn't not like it. I was just like, I got stuff to do. So I never picked up the rest of them. So I wasn't like...
I don't have the 5 minutes it takes to read a comic.
Right, exactly. I went on Wiki. I wikied it and read all about it. But yeah, so I wasn't like as in love with the characters or, you know, as looking forward to seeing this story played out as people who might have, you know, who had read the books. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But this movie isn't really about necessarily the story.
Right.
It's kind of about the style.
Yeah.
And so describe a little the style of this movie.
It was frantic. It was basically, you know, they take this world of video games and incorporate it into real life.
When you say world of video games, you mean like the way video games are set up, you know, you have to fight little bosses
mm-hmm.
and then at the very end, you know, you fight the big boss or something. And plus there's like when they fight, it's almost set up like a fighting game. It goes versus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when Pilgrim would punch somebody out, it would go, KO!
Yeah, there's a lot of the iconography of a video game
there.
Yeah, I was looking for that word. Thank you for buying time for me. But, you know, they measure things in terms of, like, life bars and energy levels, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just a language that people who play video games are familiar with. You know, it was very fast-paced. It was very, you know, they also sort of incorporated it. What do you call those? Like, the animations, like, that happen in between the video games. God, what are those called? It's gonna drive me nuts.
Not interstitials.
No.
Why? What do you?
A lot of it's, you know, shot that way too. It was great. It was just this very stylized movie. You know, here's what's bothering me about it though. Like, I feel like a lot of people are bagging on this movie, or going to bag on this movie, or just not gonna go see it because they think it's a Michael Cera movie. It's really an Edgar Wright movie. Like, he really took his style and his ability to make things work and just make things, you know, just hum. And he incorporated that in this fast-paced video game movie. So yeah, I mean, appreciate it from that level and less from the I hate Michael Cera level, which I don't.
But as much as it's a video game movie, it's still, there's a like comic book remnants that are still through it. Like, you know, he'll, a character gets like thrown and you have like the words written on the screen, like, right. You know, whoa. And you see the band Sex Bob-omb playing and there's like little, you know, like animated, like, you know, sound bolts
right.
coming out of them. But it is an Edgar Wright movie and then it does have that sort of like frantic, fast paced, you know, sort of like quick cuts and like boom, boom, boom. And there's the humor is pretty snappy, you know, like, 1, 2, 3, keep it coming kind of thing that you see in Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead a lot. And it was weird, though, watching it because I do really like the comics. But with this movie, when they optioned it, I think maybe 2 books were written.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really didn't have, Brian Lee O'Malley, the guy who wrote these comics, he really didn't have an ending in mind necessarily, or he sort of had a loose ending.
Right.
And so the movie and the books have, I mean, there's some similarities, but they definitely have different endings. But I find that, and I was thinking about it today, and the more I thought about it, the more I liked it.
Okay.
And I think it's because when I see something adapted, and I'm familiar with the work adapted, I kind of keep going back to that. And I don't consciously do it. I'm not like sitting there being like, oh, geez, that wasn't like the comic or something like that. Like, I don't like doing that, and that's not why I go see stuff. But
sure.
I feel like I can't help but compare the two or think about how they interpret it and everything.
I think a lot of us are naturally predisposed to compare something you like to something new that's trying to be like this thing you liked.
But, I mean, I really don't know how it's going to be perceived. I mean, the NNAV Club gave this movie a C+.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said that they gave it a C+ because the romance, sort of the central part that this movie is going to hang its hat on, didn't really, was kind of weak.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, I guess so. But I don't know. I never really thought to care about that.
Right.
Which is weird because it's like, you know, in a video game, you're like, why does Mario like the princess? It's just who he likes or whatever.
right.
Yeah, but I don't know, because it is like real manic and real weird. And it's just, there's one part though that I was like, if this is going to keep going, I'm checking out. The first, because the plot of the movie is that in order to win, yeah, we just basically said it, in order to win Ramona, Scott Pilgrim's love interest, he's got to defeat her 7 evil exes.
Yes.
And the first fight is against a dude named Gerald Patel, and he is Indian. And so there's a scene where he almost starts to like do like a little Bollywood number. And I was like, not a fan of this.
Right.
Not a fan. Let's stop the Bollywood music. Let's stop it right now. I do not like that. And so thankfully someone like hit him with a brick or something and it stopped.
Well, that was interesting. I was almost in a weird way sort of ready for it because reading a lot of the press materials beforehand, Edgar Wright was basically comparing this movie to a musical. Whereas in musicals, you know, if the action's rising, they break out a song. In this one, the action rises, they break into a fight. So I was like, is this his way of incorporating both of them? And thank God he didn't. Like, thank God it was just that one thing and then it was done.
See, I heard that description. I don't really think that fits.
Really?
I just think that's a good soundbite. I mean, like, when emotion's too strong. Yeah, the emotion is anger. That's why people fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like someone is like, you know, when emotion's too strong in musicals, that emotion is usually love. And when there's love in this movie, people don't fight.
Right.
I think the one emotion that was getting out of hand was like anger.
Well, sure. But I think what they're saying is they take an emotion that was going to happen naturally in this movie and exaggerate it and over, like, you know, they make it a pageant. Like, I mean, like a musical number.
They did. I mean, the fights were choreographed that way.
Right.
But, and I guess in real life, you just have people like playing out their sort of jealousies or whatever and just kind of like staring or awkward moments or, you know, sniping little comments. But, and here you have fights.
Yeah. But going back to the love aspect of this movie.
Yeah.
pardon me. You're right in the sense, or I guess the reviewer is right in the sense that this love angle, this love story would not hold water in a love movie. If you were going to see Eat, Pray, Love and saw two characters who were sort of uncertain and, you know, indifferent and just sort of, you know, misfiring at times, then you'd be like, oh, this is a very disappointing Eat, Pray, Love. But for this movie, you know, trapping this this world where people do understand that language of video games, it's almost, it's a, I don't want to say a generational thing,
uh-huh.
but it is, you know, very much. I remember being in my early 20s and not knowing what the hell I was doing, and I got that sense from the characters in this movie.
Yeah, and in the comics too. I mean, the love interest Ramona, there's, I mean, you sort of like, she's kind of a jerk to Scott at times, and you're like, why? You know, I don't know. It's sort of, she's like that on purpose. And the theme of this movie is not that, like, oh, look at this romance. Is the theme, or is the, man, I'm screwing this up. The story arc is that Scott's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Scott
right.
Pilgrim is a big idiot.
Yeah.
And so it isn't that, oh, these two deserve each other, because then Ramona would probably be a big idiot. It's like, oh, Ramona's better than him, and he needs to, you know, do something to deserve it. And they sort of, he sort of tried to make come out with this theme of like, oh, your past is, you know, is your baggage, but move onward. And it's like, ah, that's nice and all. I don't care.
Yeah.
Something that I did like about this movie a lot was the music.
Yes. Yeah, it was really great.
He got Beck to write the songs for Sex Bob Omb. What was it? Music producer Nigel Goodrich.
Yes.
Did the music for this movie. He of Radiohead album fame. And also, didn't he produce Sea Change and Mutations?
I want to say yes. I want to say you're right.
And probably some other stuff that's really good.
We need to find a Beck fan.
Yep. And all the music was really good in it. I thought about playing some today, but I was like, I'm not going to play some novelty song. Although, Blood Red Shoes, I believe that song was on the soundtrack.
Yes.
So there you go.
I believe it was.
Synergy. But yeah, Scott Pilgrim, Mascot Wedding, recommends.
Yeah, enjoyed the hell out of it.
But that's the thing. I kind of liked it better the more I thought about it. I kind of want to see it again.
I was actually thinking the same thing. I plan on seeing it again very soon, and this is not an endorsement, but just something I want to do for me.
Because I feel like a lot of times I see movies, I have to get past my expectations first.
Right, exactly.
And then once I do that, I'm start actually thinking about like what the movie is, which is weird. And I think it's a byproduct, though. You know, like they have to advertise these movies so much. Movies nowadays have to be events.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like almost impossible to go into a movie fresh.
Exactly, yeah. And I got to tell you, looking at some of the box office figures today, Scott Pilgrim needs your help, Mac.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Who's winning the weekend?
It is getting boat raced by the Expendables.
Really?
Yes. Like, almost triple.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer.
Well, is it making any money?
Not that this is a measure of how good a movie is. I get that, but it just fascinates me. Currently in tied around fifth place.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to spend a second feeling bad for anybody involved, though.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Scott Pilgrim, like, I remember when I got home last night, I was thinking, like, I'd almost like this better if, like, it was a cult movie. Like, it's a movie
exactly.
that not a lot of people liked or something.
And
I don't know why I thought that, though.
No,
I can't articulate it.
I was about halfway through this movie, and I was like, there are going to be people who are really passionate about this movie, and good for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people who are just going to never give this movie a second thought, and I'm fine with that. Like, I think this really just... It almost felt like, you know, almost in the same way that Shaun of the Dead was. You know, a lot of people came to it after the fact. And once they came on, you know, once they got on board, they were on board for the entire run, that sort of thing. And I sort of feel that way about Scott Pilgrim. But it is a shame in the sense that it was a well-made movie by everybody who brought their A game. Like, even Michael Cera. Like, Michael Cera put a lot of work into being Scott Pilgrim. He did the choreography. He did, you know, he stepped outside of... Yeah, I'll say it. He stepped outside his comfort zone to do this movie.
I wish he was a little... Because there was sort of that Michael Cera, George Michael-ness.
Of course.
His character on Arrested Development. And he didn't really leave it for, you know, Juno or Superbad or...
Youth and Revolt.
Youth and Revolt. Well, Youth and Revolt a little bit when he played like his...
The other one,
evil
yeah.
twin, Francois or whatever.
Right.
But for this movie, I felt for the most part he was playing a different character. But there was little moments when, you know, he'd have that like... That fragile voice would come out like... Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? And I'm just like, no, please, Michael Cera. Use your outdoor voice. This is
a
movie.
Well, there were definitely moments in the movie where Scott Pilgrim is talking to Ramona, and you're like, huh, Ramona has a decidedly deeper voice than Scott Pilgrim does.
Yes. Kudos to the costume department, though, for making Mary Elizabeth Winstead less attractive to be in this movie.
Yeah, that's a mean feat.
That is a mean feat. Because she's a pretty lady.
Striking.
Do you want to play some music, David?
I do.
What do you have queued up here?
Tell me it's number 5.
It is.
Soft Pack from their self-titled album. This is Flammable. More Mascot Wedding Show after this. What? Thank you very much. You're listening to the Mascot Wedding Show on Co-op. My name is David Hatta.
My name is Mac Blake.
And we just heard the Soft Pack from their self-titled album, which is, of course, the Soft Pack. Flammable. Good stuff from this year.
I was reading, something occurred to me the other day.
Yes.
I was in a presentation that I probably should have been listening to, but instead I was daydreaming, my head in the clouds. And let me preface this by saying I was reading a Batman comic the other day.
Okay.
Written by Grant Morrison. Yay.
Oh, awesome.
And in this comic, Batman is just beating up some sort of evil version of himself.
Okay.
And he's thinking, he's like, what if there's some sort of ultimate enemy out there? What if there's some sort of like unseen great foe who's been moving against me in such a subtle, long, and broad way that his movements have been imperceptible this entire time?
Mm-hmm.
Then Batman goes, because I can think about this possibility, I must assume it is true. And then sure enough, there is. There's been like an ultimate enemy moving against Batman this entire time. And that's kind of a fun idea, you know, but it's not real. But then again, as you know, Morrison, the writer, would tell you that these are paper people.
Right.
You know, it's not all supposed to be it's not all supposed to make sense. It's just supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sitting there in this presentation and I don't know why this thought entered my head. Actually, I think I was hungry and I was like, man, I'm hungry. What if there was a Care Bear that on its stomach tattoo or whatever, its little Care Bear heart, was just like the picture of that Care Bear like pointing at someone and being like, I'm hungry. It was like Hungry Heart Bear or something. I don't know why. That's what I'm guessing. But then the real thought, I was like, I wonder if there's someone out there who has got a tattoo on their stomach of one of these Care Bear hearts to make them look like they're a giant Care Bear.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I thought this, I go, well, if I can think of it, it must exist.
Exactly. Yes.
And I don't know who, I mean, like... It's one of those things where it's like, you know, you hear those like stupid sexual terms, you know, like gorilla mask or whatever.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you're like, who would do this?
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as you say that, you go, someone's done this. But that's the thing. And I instantly want to blame the internet for everything,
mm-hmm.
good and bad in life.
Yes.
But yeah, I feel like that's sort of like the age we live in. Like if you can think of something stupid that someone could do, mm-hmm. it's probably been done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Why is that?
We just want attention.
Well, that's I'm not going to argue against that. Radio.
Check my levels. I don't mean to go off on a tangent here. We'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
But it's funny, you know, we're talking about like who would do such a thing? Who would just do that, you know, just for attention or whatever reasons there are? I sort of feel that way about the JetBlue guy, the air waiter who like quit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the story is that, someone was yelling at him, and so he hit the, you know, the emergency slide or whatever, grabbed some beers and slid down, and that was how he quit. And so now he's like some sort of blue-collar folk hero.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from.
It's not coming from me. You got a job to do, all right? You want to quit? File some paperwork. But there's some reports being filed by JetBlue and by witnesses who say no such lady existed. And that this was just his way of like having a grand send off for himself.
There's one element of the story that makes this story.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that he slid down the inflatable slide.
Yes.
Take that out of the equation for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Who cares?
Exactly. Yes.
His flight attendant freaked out or whatever, grabbed some beers and quit. What? And, you know, basically stole some office supplies. Quit the beer.
Right.
All right, now take a story. Now imagine some other worker anywhere,
mm-hmm.
some employed who had a similar thing where like, let's say a guy's working at a Blockbuster Video.
Right.
And some customer yells at him and he goes, you know what? That's it. I'm out of here. Grabs a copy of whatever, Battlefield Earth. No, what's that right now? Video that he would grab?
Gatorade.
New release section.
Oh, new release section. Let's go.
Avatar.
Avatar.
Probably grab himself a copy of Avatar on Blu-ray and then leave. It's kind of boring, right?
Yeah.
Now imagine if he slid off an inflatable slide
uh-huh.
after leaving Blockbuster. That story just went from good to great.
Yeah.
Or who cares to good or something. Not good to great. Who cares to good?
Yeah. Or if he had like some giant magnet and he was like, you're all going down with me and just erased all the tapes. Then you're like, okay, he went out with style and class.
Now take out the part about quitting a Blockbuster.
Yes.
And just leave a part of like, wee, I'm going down an inflatable slide. Still a good story.
Good story.
That's why, like, when I heard this, I was like, wow, what a jerk. But man, that's got to be fun. What? That plane slide. Because, you know, you read those little, like, safety manuals when you fly, And no one reads them. But you know what I'm talking about. They're like,
yeah, the implied.
Oh, the masks will drop. Please put them on the children next to you before you're putting them on yourself. And like, oh, if we land in the ocean, we're going to lie to you and tell you that you're going to live and just use your seed flotation device. None of that seems fun. That all seems terrible.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, a slide will inflate and you go off it. You know, I remember every time I see that, I go, oh, can that happen? Like,
I hope we have a soft crash.
It'd be worth it just to, like, let's say the one of the wheels fell off as soon as we started down the runway. And like, brr, and you're like, oh, everyone's fine, but got to get off on that slide.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of awesome.
Or if you had like a water landing and you slid into water, like, this is fun.
I think a water landing, it would have to be a real soft water landing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Were you not listening to this slide hypothesis?
So I think if anything, the story just tapped into our desire to go down that airplane. Because it's forbidden, David. It's forbidden love.
Yeah, it's a federal law.
Yeah. It's like an apple from the tree you're not supposed to eat, because in order to get on this awesome, super awesome inflatable slide, you'd have to crash an airplane.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to do for my 30th birthday.
Wait, which part?
Go down an airplane slide.
Oh, okay.
Someone make that happen.
Can we?
No.
Surely.
No.
All right.
It's got skull front, maybe, but I don't.
He's got powerful friends.
I don't want to see how he'd do it. Probably crash that airplane.
Anyone you could walk away from, right?
I'm going to stop using those words, by the way.
What's that?
Crash the airplane. Oh, you did it to me again. Because I feel like we're already on some sort of to watch list.
But yeah, I feel like he was just doing that for attention. You know, he just, like, we're at this point now where everyone just, you know, the internet is so readily accessible where it's like, how can I get on the internet now? And I think he tapped into that.
I hope that I hope that's not what he was thinking. And I did do my research, though. I did Google Care Bear belly tattoo or Care Bear stomach tattoo, and I did not actually see any of these tattoos that I was referring to, the ones with, like, you know, the Care Bear heart logo on them. But I did see some awful tattoos, just the worst, especially something incorporated like the belly button. You know what? I'm not going to describe these anymore. You can do it on your own. You can imagine how terrible these things are. You don't need my help to help you imagine this filth. You could just Google it. But yeah, that's like a really, it's like, oh, that'd be kind of a funny idea. Maybe I can use that for something. But it's like, nope, as soon as I saw it, I knew that, or as soon as I thought it, I was like, I know someone else has thought about this and done it. I got a phone call. KOOP, you're on the air.
Hey, can you play a song for me?
What's your name, caller?
Oh, hey, this is Kevin from Sunken Valley, fan of the show.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, so you can play a song for me?
We really don't do requests.
Oh, come on, please.
Well, is it something we'd normally play? Maybe we get it next week?
It's possible.
Well, all right, what song is it?
Something to Talk About by Bonnie Raitt.
Are you... No, we would. There's no way we'd play that song.
Are you serious?
Are you? You think we'd play Something to Talk About on co-op?
Please, come on. It's really important to me.
I'll tell you what. You listen to the show, right?
All the time.
Okay, you know the mascot wedding. You know what the mascot wedding ticket interview is?
Sure.
All right, so right now we're going to do the mascot wedding request interview, okay?
Okay, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to give you 30 seconds to convince me to play Something to Talk About, okay?
Okay.
All right, do you think you can do it?
I think I can.
All right, well, I really don't like your chances. I'm going to be honest with you, but I'll give you a shot. You ready?
Yes.
Well, let me bring up the thing on my iPod and go.
Okay, I want to hear Something to Talk About because it's the song that was playing on the radio the night I died.
What? Wait a second. Hold on. Are you done?
How much time do I have left?
Hold on. Wait, so you're saying you're let me make sure I heard this correctly.
Yeah, I'm done, yeah.
Okay, this was a song playing on the radio the night you died.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're saying you're dead.
Yeah, I'm a ghost. So can you play the song for me?
You're a ghost, huh?
Yeah.
Look, I'm having a hard time with this. This is all kind of hard to swallow, buddy.
You don't believe me,
do you? No, I really don't.
All right, then look it up.
Oh, sorry. I just search your name online and type in, like, ghost and it's supposed to come up?
No, here's what you do. Go online to the website for the Sunken Valley Shopper and search their news archives for my name.
All right, sure. What's your name?
Kevin McBainbridge.
Yeah, let me bring this up. Kevin McBainbridge?
Yeah, MC.
How do you spell the Bane part of your name?
B-A-I-N, like Conrad Bain.
Okay, and then the bridge is just like a bridge?
Yeah, like you drive off of.
And then you said Mick?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Not Mac?
No.
Kevin McBain Bridge. Okay.
Yeah, there should be a story about me on August 14th, 1991.
So that's like 19 years ago today.
Yeah, it's my death anniversary today.
Maybe don't call it that. Well, okay, something did come up. Local VHS football star and fatal automobile accident. All right, so you're saying this is you?
Yeah, it's me.
I don't think this is good. What's your middle name then? Prove it.
Allen.
Okay, what was your number on the football team?
81.
No, that's correct.
Yeah, see, I told you. I can even tell you that I was driving my mom's Oldsmobile Cutlass.
Oh, that's right. So you're Kevin McBainbridge.
Well, I'm the ghost of Kevin McBainbridge.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he did.
What?
Yeah, you ever hear people say that?
Actually, I have.
Yeah. Where is that from?
I have no idea.
It's not like from a movie or something?
I really just think it was something that people started saying.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, like he did, like that?
Yeah, exactly.
I hear that a lot, sometimes in movie theaters.
It's fun to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, if you could play that song for me, that'd be great.
Something to talk about.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's sort of a goof, really. Like, I don't even like that song.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the reason why I got into my car accident.
And how's that?
Well, I was on my way to Bianca Giancarlo's house because her parents were out of town, and we were going to have a mayonnaise party.
And what's a mayonnaise party?
I don't think I could say it on the radio. Yeah,
gross. I was hoping it wasn't something like that.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, right. So I'm on my way to her place, and that song comes on the radio. But that song sucks, and I wanted to listen to a tape instead. So, like, I was looking for my copy of Mo Ritmo, but it had fallen between the seats.
Well, what's Mo Ritmo?
It's the first album by Gerardo. It had Rico Suave on it. Come on.
I'm sorry, I just didn't know what Mo Ritmo is.
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm searching around for the tape, and I took my eyes off the road. Next thing you know, my car's wrapped around a tree.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Hey, man, no worries. I got a pretty good thing going on right now anyway.
Oh, I guess. So did you get to go to heaven, Kevin?
Yeah, I already went. Went there for a little while, but it was boring, so I split.
Heaven was boring.
Look, heaven's a nice place to visit, but like after a while, it's like, get me out of here, you know?
I really don't.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm just this disembodied spirit now.
And so what do you do now? Do you just see the world?
Nah, I mostly hang out at the high school.
What do you mean?
Valley High, my old high school. I just kind of hang out there all the time. I mean, you know, it's like I never left. I still even look the same as I did in high school.
So as a ghost, you haven't aged at all? That's what you're saying?
Nope. Not at all. And I'm literally wearing the same outfit I did the night I died.
Oh, and what's that?
Oh, letter jacket. Big Johnson t-shirt.
Big Johnson, yuck.
Yeah, it's great. It's my favorite one, too. It's for Big Johnson's Bait and Tackle Shop, and it says guaranteed to hook you up.
So can people see you as a ghost?
Not in person, but in, like, reflections and photographs and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, like, check this out. Do you still have the Sunken Valley Shopper site open?
I do.
Okay, go to their Life and Arts section.
Okay, hold on.
Uh-huh.
Life and Arts, all right.
Yeah. Do you see that article about the Sunken Valley Summer Valley Festival?
Yep.
All right, click on the picture of the concert stage.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Okay, you see that guy on the stage next to Duncan Sheik?
Oh my God, is that you?
You tell me, what do you see?
I see a guy wearing a letter jacket. Oh, and no pants.
Yeah, that's me.
Why are you not wearing pants?
I told you, that's how I died. Like, I was going to go surprise Bianca.
All right, that's enough. I don't want to hear this.
Okay, well, hey, listen, I got to go. There's a back-to-school party at Brent McClellan's place, and I don't want to miss it.
What are you going to do at this party?
Same stuff I always do. You know, cruise for chicks, beat up nerds, stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God, the other day, there was this one dweeb who had his hands full of books.
Let me guess, so you like, knocked the books out of his hand?
No, I dumped a milkshake on his head.
Oh, great. That sounds great.
Yeah, and then I showed him how he was going to die.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty wicked.
Hold on. You're a ghost, right?
Yeah.
And you have the power to do whatever you want?
Yeah.
And all you do is beat up nerds?
and cruise for chicks.
Yeah, but you're a ghost. That doesn't even make sense logistically.
Yeah, maybe not the way you think, but a girl's got to shower sometime.
All right, that's really, you know, you're really disgusting.
Oh, what?
Kind of a pig.
You think you're better than me?
Yes, I do.
You're better than a ghost.
You're not even a good ghost. A good ghost would roam around, see the world, discover the mysteries in the universe. You're some creepy ghost jock.
Oh, yeah? Well, maybe this ghost jock is going to come visit you tonight.
Yeah, he probably will, because you don't have anything better to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and maybe I'll tell you how you're going to die.
Oh, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah, right after I pull your pants down.
Oh, of course you will. Hello? And he hung up. Oh, no, there's no way I'm going to play that Bonnie Raitt. That guy wasn't a ghost. There's no way that guy. In fact, that person, this article's real. Probably some terrible person that looked up this article. And I like to apologize to the family of Kevin McBainbridge. I don't know why I entertained that. I feel real bad about that. Why didn't you stop me on that one?
I could not believe what I was hearing. I was just, I was like half tending to some business, half listening, and then that is bizarre.
I don't like it.
In other news, back to school party. All right, here we go.
Yeah, that's actually about right by where I live.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
the Brent McClellan kid used to mow my lawn.
That's really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yep. Should be a good time.
Always is.
All right. So speaking of good times.
Yes.
I didn't have one this week. Because
did you return to Netflix?
No. Although, Do the Right Thing's coming in the mail. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I had tickets to go see Crystal Castles on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right.
Part of the Hard Summer Tour with Brusco and Metallica. Except Metallica didn't show, or they're also never on the bill.
Or promote themselves, or even agree to it.
Ready, Crystal Castles. No, it wasn't like that at all. But I didn't go. I wasn't feeling too well, and it was a real gross day outside. And I was like, man, I feel awful right now. Mm-hmm. I need to go home and rest it up. And I'm just not feeling like going to the show. But here's the thing. Ticket cost a lot. I didn't want to eat it.
Sure.
And so I know it was short notice because I think this show even started earlier. Mm. I was like, I'm going to sell this thing on Craigslist, which I've sold some tickets in the past. Usually works out.
Oh, yeah.
Although I have there's something about people buying tickets on Craigslist. It's like no one wants to pay the actual price for something.
Right.
It's either I have to jack up the price till they'll be like, all right, well, I better buy it quick before the price gets even higher.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're like trying to lowball me.
Right.
If I sell it at the regular price. And so this one guy, first guy to send me an email, his name was something I'd never heard of before. And the manner of speaking, like the syntax of his language was real off in the email. Like the English was like, please to sell me ticket. And I was like, if this was a spam email, you wouldn't open it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, please to help me with my Nigerian diamonds. You'd be like, no. But he was the first guy. And after about 15 minutes, he was still the only person. So I was like, all right, I'll sell it to you. And in my ad, I was like, okay, I'm selling this ticket. I'm selling it for less than the service charge.
Right.
I'm going to eat the service charge because it's close to the show
mm-hmm.
when I decided to do this. And I'm going to eat the service charge. But here's the thing. You got to meet me at this part of town between these two times. Like, and it was like an hour, like 5 and 6. And so this guy, you know, was like, all right. He's like, hey, I want these tickets. What's your phone number? And I was like, I'm not giving this guy my phone number. And I regret that I gave him my real name in the email.
Hmm.
And so I was like, I'll tell you what. You want it, it's yours. Email me back to confirm and I'll tell you where to meet me. And he's like, okay, duh, yeah, I will. And so I did. And then I get a call, or excuse me, another email from him. And he's like, hey, could you meet me at 4:45?
Oh,
I was like,
geez.
Well, I was kind of in the, I said you must do the, must is the word I used. But you know what? All right. And at this time, I've had other people send me emails for offers. And it's like, God, why didn't I go with these other people? Why
Seriously?
Didn't I wait?
Yeah.
And so I'm driving down there. I get another email from this guy. And he's like, oh, and could you come over to Stubbs? That's where we are. And I was like, no, I cannot. And then now the two caveats, the third caveat was must have cash. And I was like, that one's going to be broken any second now. Like, hey, you like my girlfriend? Like, I got to go. I got to go. And so he's like, what's your phone number? Was the email back. And I was like, oh, deal's off. Jeez. Not going to have. I don't want to give you my phone number.
Of course.
Because
yeah.
I already said I couldn't come to Stubbs to get, you know, give him the ticket in person because I had places to be.
Of course.
And so, like, was he going to call and, like, talk me into it? Like, hey, this is the Craigslist guy. I'd be like, hey, how's it going? I'd be like, come on. And so I was like, you know what? Deal's off. Good luck and apologies for any inconvenience. Try to be nice about it.
Mm.
And so then I finally, like, met another guy. Hey. I don't like the way that sounds on Craigslist. I encountered once again.
Yeah, casually.
I casually set myself up here. I gave him an adult job. What? I got an email from some other potential buyer. And he was like, I live right over there. And I was like, all right, meet me here. He's like, sounds good. How do I recognize you? I'd be like, well, I'm wearing this shirt. Got my laptop open, working on stuff. He's like, all right, sounds good. By the way, I only got X amount of money.
Oh, come on.
And I was like, oh, now you. He really was. He was just hoping I'd be like, oh, we're so close to the finish line. Fine.
Yeah.
Then I'm already munching part of this ticket. Sure. I'm not eating more of it. And plus, I feel nauseous already. Part right. of the reasons didn't go.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, no thanks. And I like emailed some other guy. I was like, you're done. And I was like, you want it? It's yours. And this other guy goes, all right, fine. I'll pay the full amount. The second guy is like, oh, fine. So I'd email the other back. I just emailed and was like, hey, it's yours. I was like, no, it's not.
Oh.
but he eventually came. And he was like, oh, this is the best part. I go, no, I'm. He's like, fine. I'll get the full money. I need to go to the ATM.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And by the way, the amount of money he wanted off was just like so very little.
Yeah.
He just wanted to, like, you know, get that sort of like haggling feeling.
Exactly.
Like, how much will you pay for this car? Be like, oh, this car is $5,000. I'll give you $4,000. Absolutely not $5,000. I'll give you, $4,500. Nope, $5,000 is the price. $4,998. You know what, deal? And he's like, done. Master negotiator. This is the guy I was trying to do to me. And so he showed up late, too. He missed the window.
Of course he did.
So I guess what I'm saying is this Craigslist, I don't think it's going
to
last.
I love that where he was like, oh, I got to go to an ATM. Like, if this was 20 years ago, he'd be like, I have to wait for the bank to open in the morning. I can't do it. Like, that's the inconvenience there. It's like, ugh. Screw him.
By the way, the amount of money this guy needed does not come out of an ATM. They don't make bills that small.
Yeah.
From ATMs.
They don't just have that button that just says $6. Like, oh, okay, here yeah, we go. This was convenient.
It's like ATM. It's like, by ATM, do you mean you're like one of those machines that gives you quarters?
Do you mean your friend Adam?
Yeah. He can loan you a 5-spot or something. Because that's all it was.
Yeah, Craigslist stinks.
Anyway, I heard that show was good.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. But what are you going to do?
Go.
Hey, are we ready to get out of here?
Yeah, let's do that.
Gotta make some room for the clear spot.
For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, keyword Mascot Wedding. That's about it.
We're gonna leave you off of the album Crazy for You. This is Best Coast with the End. Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Mac.
Goodbye, Austin.